So, like, if I took Ashes and, like, went to the writing center where we met and just, like,
yeah,
took it out, like, dude, you get vacuumed up, like, you get vacuumed up at the end of the day. Are you okay with that?
Hey, it's kind of like a few episodes ago where I said I love me leaving my mark no matter how temporary.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's true.
Or you could just put me outside, you know, it doesn't have
to. Yeah, I would just put you outside the college. Like, there's, like, a pond, that beautiful, like, little wilderness part. I'll just put you out there.
Or put me in the place where I regretted not saying hi to you as we walked past each other. Going out of the tech wing.
Out of the tech wing, yeah. No, that'd be funny. I always think of, when I think of, like, Ashes, I think of the Big Lebowski. When they spread Donnie's ashes on the cliff and Walter, like, sprays the ashes and then it gets, like, tossed back into the dude's face and he's, like, so fucking mad and he says, "Good night, sweet prince," like, throws the ashes. That's what I think of.
Man. You see what sucks about my funeral and shit? It was that I won't be there. I will physically be there, but I won't mentally be there.
Yeah, no. Well, maybe you could end up, like, in Caddyshack. You'll, like, do some deed for the Dalai Lama, and he'll give you complete consciousness on your deathbed.
Yeah. What I'm really hoping for is that it's, like, a pick-your-own-adventure book. Like, you know how you, like, pick your own adventure, and then you get to the end, and you're like, you know something? I'm going to go back and see what it would have been like if I made these other decisions. Oh,
That would be awesome. I would love if death... That would be really cool.
Yeah, just to see if I made the right choice to. So, like, for instance, like, let's just say, like, the biggest regret I have in my life, had I not done that, would that have set me on a path to where, let's just say, I would have just been randomly driving and then I would have been killed at, like, 18.
Oh, yeah.
And not lived out these past almost 13 years.
Yeah, I think that question of that question is very interesting, and it leads me to this idea of reincarnation. And I actually, it's kind of weird. Like, life, on the one hand, we've talked about, if you enjoy life, it's short. If you hate life and you're miserable, it's long. I think that some people do get to a point where they're, like, in their age and they've had their life and they're like, I'm done. I've contributed what I've contributed and I am at peace with it. And then to, like, for that person to then be reborn and start over, they're probably like, motherfucker, I was done and now I'm here again. Jesus fucking Christ. That would be really funny.
So what's your take on, like, reincarnation? So do you think that we are original or do you think that we are recycled souls of people who used to exist?
The recycled souls thing sounds a bit like Scientology. but I think if reincarnation was a thing, I think it would be one soul that is in different hosts throughout the cycle or whatever. I like the idea of Hindu and Buddhist cosmology and, like, the wheel of samsara, and that, like, if you lead a good life, you're continuously reborn as a human because humans can attain enlightenment. But if you, like, suck and you have a bad life, you get reborn as, like, an animal or a vengeful, hungry ghost or a vengeful god or something like that. Like, I find that interesting. I just don't think that's probably what it is. Like, just because I have a hard time, again, like, believing in things that I can't see or feel. But yeah, what's your opinion about reincarnation?
It's really fucking gnarly.
Yeah? You've never heard of that before?
It's been a while since I, like, read up on any of that stuff. The only thing I remember is something about being reincarnated into, like, a cow or something.
In Hinduism, cows are sacred. I don't know why, but I know that they're sacred. So I think if you are reborn as a cow, maybe it's a good thing. But, like, yeah, no, oftentimes in Buddhism, they believe that, like, there's, like, six different castes you can be born into: animal, vengeful god, hungry ghost, human, regular god, and then one other thing that I can't. And it's kind of like, you want to be reborn as a human because humans can attain enlightenment. And ultimately you don't want the three bad things. Like, hungry ghosts are stylized as, like, having these massive mouths and these tiny throats so that they can, like, never be satiated or, like, satisfied with anything. And then vengeful god is obviously gods that are vengeful.
That might be me reincarnated.
Yeah, you think you're gonna be reborn as a vengeful god?
If I were to die, like within the next, you know, couple of years, yeah, because I got a lot of fucking resentment and built up.
Yeah,
you know, that I'm working on, but yeah, I'd probably come back and I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I hate you, you know. Like,
yeah,
but
it's, I liked your idea of like the roast, the comedy roast, a funeral. My dad's always said he wants an Irish funeral, which is like, I think he's gonna be cremated in a box, and then he just wants a bunch of great food and great alcohol, and everyone to just like party and have a good time. Like, I think that's a good funeral.
Yeah, I mean, people gathering around and being sad, I get that, but, like, that's not me. I mean, that's part of me. I mean, you know, there is a part of me that is very deep and very dark, but on the surface, you know, like, it's all found within humor, and if people could find that humor, like, in the deepest, darkest fucking moment, like, that's literally, like, the epitome of my life, and if people could see that at my funeral, that'd be fucking amazing.
Yeah, I think I'd want it. I don't want something sad. I want like good music played, good food, people hanging out, talking stories, like, you know, good shit. Like, you know, I've found that, you know, depends on the kind of funeral that you've been to, but like there's some like after funeral like luncheons that are just fucking sad, and then you get to ones like my family, and then it's at a bar, and everyone's just kind of shit faced, and like, you know what? That's really the best part, is just getting good food with people and getting a little drunk. So you might as well just make that the funeral in my eyes. And, you know, have the person in a fancy box in the middle of a table that they can go up and talk to you and talk shit at you. It'd be really funny.
It kind of leads me to this question. So just right before all of that happens, what are your limits on having the plug pulled on you? So, like, if you're in the hospital and, like, you're in a vegetative state and you have a low percentage of, like, coming out of it, like, would you want to be taken off life support? Would you want to, like, live? Like, even if it meant having a very low quality of life, like, where you're, like, completely paralyzed, you know, you're completely dependent and...
And there's no, like, brain activity?
Well, for the sake of argument, let's say it's there, but you're not as sharp as you are now. You know, you're still, like, fucked up. Let's just say it's a stroke or something to where you're cognitive. Like, you have these feelings, but it's not 100% articulated because, like, your body just completely, like, fucked up your brain.
I would, like, I think I would want, ideally, for the person or people to wait until the brain activity left or it was to a low enough degree that I wouldn't have... My biggest fear is like being as I am now, trapped in a vessel where I can't speak, emote, whatever. Like, you know, but the day that I stop being as sharp as I am now and it's like I'm not capable of making those like emotions or emoting or whatever, like in the brain itself, then I think they can pull the plug on me.
It's fucked up, right?
Yeah, you know, it's really fucked up to think about.
Yeah, that recently happened within my family. A guy died very recently because he was taken off life support, and one of the options was to have I think it's called tracheotomy.
Yeah, tracheotomy, where they kind of like poke a hole into your windpipe, right? And mm-hmm. It breathes for you or something like that.
Yeah, so he was conscious and cognizant when they asked him. They said, do you want to like be on a respirator the rest of your life? And he was crying and he shook his head no. Oh, so he knew, and then they under his own consent, they took him off the breathing machine, and he died really quickly after that.
Oh my god, that would be the biggest... I hope that I'm never in that situation. But I think virtually everyone wants to go out in their sleep. Like, you know, peaceful, calm, you know, no pain, anything like that. My ex used to say he wanted to die in a sword fight or no, he wanted to get in a fight, kill somebody, and then drive a car to the West Coast and then plunge it off the coast and like die in a fiery car crash while Layla is playing by Eric Clapton.
God, he was such a guy.
What a guy. Such
a fucking dude.
What a dude. But like, yeah, and I was like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, I just want to go in my sleep at an old age.
That's the best case scenario. And the good thing about people dying is you kind of have that spectrum of peaceful death versus like dog death, where 99% of the time it's fucking tragic, miserable, and it's just the, like, I would never want to die the way fucking Scamper died. Just 2 week bone cancer and you get operated on the wrong fucking arm. Like, I couldn't do that shit.
You didn't have to pay for that shit, right?
No.
Thank God. Fucking assholes. Yeah, no. I think that death, the good thing about death is it is a great motivator. We're all gonna die. We don't know when, we don't know how, so you might as well live like you are about to die and, like, just accept that and go from there. That's how I feel. Whether I actually live that way is another story. I think I'm making changes in my life to live as if I'm gonna die tomorrow, but in a positive way. Not like, you know, going out and trying heroin and, like, you know, snorting coke off hookers' asses, because why not? But more so, like, living to my truthful self and recognizing that, like, I need to make art to, like, feel good about myself and not even make myself feel good, but, like, to make my soul feel fulfilled.
I agree, you know, and, yeah, like, I think a lot of people would think, okay, live every day like it's your last, as if you're giving into only your impulses and nothing else, but, for me, at least, they would just to live, like, a completely, like, truthful and honest life as, like, I saw fit that day, and not, you know, be restrained with, thoughts or expression, not given to my impulses, because my impulses would be just buy, like, a shitload of fucking candy and then just binge on that and then, you know, fucking call someone, you know, that's close to me and say, I love you, all right, goodbye, and then that would be it. But, it's tough because I didn't really realize my mortality until honestly fairly recently, because I understood death because I've been around it so much, and even my parents, they're still alive today. Like, when I was 10 years old, my mom was in the hospital with blood clots in her legs and her lungs. So, and I was actually in the room when the pastor or the priest, I can't remember the term, came into the room and read my mom her last rites.
Oh, you're actually, I'm so sorry, number one, that's terrifying. That reminds me of when my great-grandmother died, my father's grandmother, and we came in to see her, and she was hooked up to life support, and the priest or the chaplain was coming in to give her communion for Sunday, and she, they had to open her mouth for her and put it in her mouth. And she was on this breathing machine, and her whole body was convulsing, and, like, it wasn't human. It was, like, I would do the motion, but it wouldn't make sense on a podcast because you can't see it. But it was, like, it was absolutely terrifying.
It's really fucked up, because the last rites, it's like, you're gonna die. Like, this is gonna happen.
And, no, for sure.
I remember I was actually, like, it was strange because I knew what was happening, but it didn't really hit me. Like, my dad was, like, completely uncontrollably crying, but I was there. I was like, everything's going to be okay. And then, you know, she's still alive to this day. And then my dad, about 7 years after that, got stage 4 colon cancer.
Oh, my God.
And he actually had literally an 8% chance of living 6 months.
Oh, my God.
And he actually, like, no joke, they wrote about my dad in these medical books because, you know, he's still alive. He's, like, totally fine. And wow.
He's in remission?
Yeah, like, he's been cancer-free, you know, since 2003, 2004. There was a little part where he came back to him, but it really just went away, and he's, like, totally fine now. So he was supposed to die too. So my parents are really lucky, and I'm really lucky that they didn't die, you know, when they were supposed to. You know, like, they literally fucking stared death in the face.
Yeah.
So that's, like, why in hospitals, whenever somebody says, yeah, it's not looking good, like, it could be this, it could be that, I never really, just because of both of my parents and witnessing them in those states, I don't believe statistics. So when they say that, like, you have a 10% chance of living, there's even stories of people who were in a comatose and vegetative state, and they literally snap out of it, and they're, like, totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, that guy I was dating, they told him, like, it was, like, first week of December, like, you're not going to see Christmas, and here he is still alive. Like, I, you know, there's something to be said for, like, the human spirit. And, like, I think some people just, like, get, while they have a cancer, they'll get into a state, like, they are just like, I'm not gonna fucking die, I'm not going down. There's a person that I went to high school with who, I was more close with her older sister, but I just found out that she is going through chemo treatments. I believe she has leukemia, and that has been fucking me up. And then there was another person I went out on a date with who said he had, like, lymphoma, and they, like, the course of treatment that he basically said was, like, if you're gonna get cancer, do it when you're young, because your body is still able to take all of the chemo and, like, repair itself pretty well. When you're older, it's really hard for your body to rebuild from that. So, but I'm still in this state where, like, I really struggle with the idea that, like, I could be dead tomorrow. Like, that, like, I hear of these cases where, like, people, like, that I know or acquaintances have, like, suffered massive things, but it still feels so alien to me just because, like, I can't picture it happening. But that doesn't mean it can't, which fucks you up.
Fuck. I wish, even in death, like, you get to really see how people view that person, you know, whether positive or negative. And sometimes I just wish that, like, I would be reminded of, like, how much I mean in people's lives. Without being dead. I'm not saying that, like, you know, like, the people I do have in my life that do appreciate me, they do let me know. But, if I were to binge watch people, like, just, like, saying, like, how they felt about me, like, you know, as if I was dead, that would be, because I don't see that. I only see, like, what I'm thinking of and, like, what I'm, like, you know, experiencing in and of myself. So, yeah.
And that's really, you know, it's a really biased experience, because especially, like, it, I don't know if you're similar like me in this regard. Are you really pessimistic and hard on yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you know, like, the narrative in your head at all times is, like, it's some variation of you're a piece of shit, or you're unworthy, or you're not doing good enough.
Fuck all of those.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no, that's just how I feel, like, at all times, basically, with it. So, I forgot what I was going to say next.
Well, you're not going to die, are you?
No, not as far as I know. I hope not.
It's fucked up is we, that's something that we all have in common, is literally that fucking spectrum of life. Like, we were all born, and we all are guaranteed to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all this nuance in between, you know, to... Yep. Make that process a lot less painful.
Yeah. And I mean, that person who I knew who was, like, told that they were going to die by Christmas, like, he, when, now that he is, like, alive, and I think they've told him his, that he is fully, like, functionally normal as if he never had the ailment that he had. You know, he has to have medication, I think, for a while, and they can wean him off. But you know, he really is in this space of, like, evaluating, like, now that I'm not going to die, like, what am I going to do with my life? And he had a lot to figure out. And I think that anyone who is faced with that probably feels that way. And I think that I wish we could have those deep conversations and thought experiments with ourselves without death having to be on the line. You know what I mean? Because, like, how many people walk through life not thinking about the fact that they could be dead tomorrow or get a disease that will, you know, remove the possibility of completing what they want to do out of life? And I wonder, you know, again, like, wouldn't it be great if the people that loved us just told us every day, like, why they loved us, or once in a while, like, all the things without us having to be dead, or, like, you know, before I get, like, you know, whatever ailment, could you tell me, like, how much you love me, or, like, why you love me, and stuff like that. I almost had a really funny thought. What do you want to... you said you want to be cremated?
Yeah, after I have the pipe cleaners installed in my body. And I actually was working with a student who wanted to actually be a mortician. And she was she was in her mid-40s and wanted to go... Like, she's been a nurse her whole life. And she wanted to go back to school to specifically be a mortician.
Good for her.
She was one of the most fascinating people I've ever talked to, you know. And she was really, really feisty, too. Like, she was, like feisty. And then, like, she would be like... and no one ever really talked about this stuff with her, because if people are talking about death, you know, they're like, ew. But I was just like, please tell me more. And she's like, explained to me the process, and she was so feisty and energetic. She see what they do with the body is that they stove it with this, and then they do it with that. And I'm like, you know something? That doesn't bother me. People want to have their body stuffed, and people in that situation, they really need to be comforted and make them feel good. So I think I could do that. Like, and she, I was like, awesome. I'm like, you fucking go. And I was like, can you? And I told her the pipe cleaner thing, and she's like, you know something, Brian? I do that for you.
That's awesome.
You give me a call if you want it.
give me a call. I was gonna say, what do you want to be dressed as with the pipe cleaner thing? Do you want it like a suit? Like, I think I don't know how old I would be, obviously, but I want to look fucking awesome for a dead body. I want to look fucking glorious. Like, fuck your mortician skills. I want like a girl from like a mat counter to come do my makeup, and like, I want to look fucking fabulous, and I hope someone can touch up my roots, and like, I just want to look fab on my deathbed.
I want to look the same. I want to look unshaved, and then I'm wearing a wrestling shirt.
Please go unshaved, because so when my uncle died, they shaved him clean, and it was the first time I'd ever seen him clean shaven in my whole life. And he died when I was like in my 20s, like in my early 20s. So it was just like, what the fuck? Like, all right, was I in my early 20s? Oh, I was 19. Sorry.
Close enough.
I was like, hey, it's a number, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just forget how old I was when people died.
Yeah. Isn't it like the vanity of being in an open casket, though, is so you look presentable as dead for other people? Like, isn't that technically objectification?
It kind of is. Actually, I have this really horrible memory of, not horrible, I'll let you be the judge. At my aunt's funeral, I have a very distinct memory of my aunts going over to the body and, like, putting lip gloss on it because it didn't look good enough.
That's,
I have this memory of them, like, rubbing in the lip gloss on the dead body. And I was just, like, I was, like, what, 12? I was just disgusted, like.
That's pretty fucking funny, I gotta say. I mean, like, what else are you gonna...
They were literally critiquing her look. She was a dead fucking body.
I can imagine seeing that in a movie and that being like an allegory on like how our society is, you know?
No, honestly, yeah. No, totally. What do you think about, like, some people want there to be some sort of technology that we can store all our memories on before we die, and so our memories or our stories will, like, live on separate from us. Would you want there to be some sort of, like, device that could tell your tale or have all your memories before you die?
No. If people really knew the shit I was thinking most of the time, I would be fucking frozen in Arkham Asylum. And two, that's the only thing that I've ever really owned that was mine and private. You know, the shit that I'm sharing with you is just not even the surface of, like, just, you know, who I am and, like, what I think about. And it's not that I'm restraining that from everybody, it's just that it's literally never ending. There has never been a moment in my life since I've had consciousness where I wasn't not thinking. And that's fucking crazy. Like, that's literally almost 31 years of a goddamn TV show. Like, as long as the time has been going, it's not like I have a season, like, you know, okay, see, I'm not on season 31 of Brent's life.
You know,
maybe if we were to divide it up into years, but it's just been this long, continuous fucking stream of, like, one thought that's either, like, evolving, like, changing, like, sometimes, like, you know, I'm, like, euphoric, and I'm, like, on top of the world, and then sometimes, like, you know, like, I'm in, like, the lowest of lows, and not necessarily within a very close proximity to one another, but, at least parts of my life, if this is like a wavelength, you know, that would be the whole wavelength. So it's 31 years of shit to scrub through, and I'm pretty sure people would scrub through it like when I was 12 and, you know, I was really fucking you know, just like going through puberty and stuff, and some of the shit that I would do, you know. So I'm pretty sure, like, oh my god, that's the fucking adult that this guy came out to be. So you know, I haven't done any horrible shit in my life, and I'm totally fine with that. I've done some contextually questionable things, and I've thought really bad thoughts, you know, about certain people, you know, typically when I'm, like, in anger, but, I think most people have those thoughts where, you know, they become vengeful in a way, like when they're just completely overtaken with anger. Mm-hmm. So I would want to see the memories for myself, Like, if I can actually get, like, a fucking DVD, like, the best of Brent's memories from 2004 to 2005, like, I would love to go back and write, you know, and just see that shit. But the only way I can do that now is if I write honestly within a journal, which I've been doing consecutively every single day for the past 4 months. But then before that, January to February 14th of 2017. So I look back at some of them, like, oh my God, like I completely forgot that day, but I remembered every single part of that day once I read that shit. And that's the only real way I can go back. But sometimes I remind it of a fleeting feeling, like I hear a song, you know, because music fucking encaptures like the feeling of the times like so goddamn well. You know, I hear certain songs and I'm just transported back to that period of time in my life.
Yeah.
So I would like to see it for my own like vanity reasons, but for other people to see, I don't know. I guess it would be interesting to see, like, if a person really lived an honest life. If you looked at your at their thoughts and you're like, you know something? That's something that Brent would think.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're like, oh my God, I had no fucking idea this guy was that weird.
I mean, yeah. There's like, a positive and negative to it either way. I don't know if I'd want all my thoughts cataloged. Again, like, we talked about, like, I have a lot of really negative thoughts about myself that I've been trying to work on. So I don't know if anyone wants to listen to that stuff. But I've got cool ideas about, like, music and art, I think. And, I like analyzing literature and books and whatnot, but that isn't anything that I couldn't encapsulate into a paper. But yeah, I don't think I'd want to. It kind of is very like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind to think about, like the capability of wiping memory, storing memory, all of that stuff. But yeah, death, man, it's everywhere. Springtime, this is going to sound horrible. Springtime reminds me of death a lot. Because most of the time in my life that someone has passed away has been springtime.
Ooh.
Weird. But I think of death a lot in springtime. And probably also because of dead animals all over. Like, it's roadkill season. Like, nobody's fucking business when springtime. Because it gets warm out and then all the animals come out and they, like, want to be like, yay, springtime, run across the road. Dead. Hit by a car. Dead.
I hate when people say these animals are fucking stupid, and, you know, these animals have existed for tens of thousands of fucking years.
Thank you.
And only within the past maybe 50 years have there been cars. So
thank you.
When they see, imagine if we just saw a goddamn gigantic brick with lights coming at us at full speed that's literally thousands of pounds, tens of thousands of pounds heavier than us, and it was like 10 stories tall, we would stop and fucking look at it too, and then it would hit us, and then the Titans would be like, oh, these humans are fucking stupid.
Like, it doesn't, yeah, like, and again, it's like an animal, like, it doesn't know, like, because that, it's like, it doesn't have a network of understanding of, like, this thing is gonna kill me, this is a car, this is driven by a human, like, that's not there. So yeah, have you ever hit an animal with your car?
Maybe not intentionally. I always swerve.
Yeah, I break for squirrel, everything. I break for fucking birds. I break for fucking geese. Although, like, don't you fucking hate it when, like, a gaggle of geese, like, gets in front of your fucking car and they act like they own the goddamn road and they go as slow as they fucking want?
Do you know why?
Because they're assholes?
No, it's because they're fucking addicts.
What do you mean?
So, feeding geese and ducks bread is actually the worst thing that you can do.
Oh yeah, because they'll stop eating on their own, right? Yeah.
So what happens is they love the bread so much that they become addicted to it. So they fly to ponds just to seek out bread, and like they're literally on the street corner looking at you like, hey man, you got some fucking bread, man? Oh shit, I'll suck your dick, man. I'll quack at that shit. You know, they are fucking, like, drug addicts, like, in the middle of the street because we keep giving them bread.
Well, who feeds geese, though? Ducks, I understand. Geese? Nah.
Well, most of the ponds, like in Vernon Hills, like, and even around here, like, geese still go to those certain ponds. Like, yeah, there's a lot of ducks, but, you know, a lot of people just scatter breadcrumbs or whatever, and the geese, they'll eat anything. Like, you know, like, especially, like, kids walking home from school, like, they have a half a bag of Cheetos, and they just throw they just empty the bag on the grass, and the fucking geese comes by, and, like, they're like, this Cheeto's the best fucking thing I ever had in my life. And then they, like, leave their families, and
fucking, and then they're on the street corner.
Yeah, they're on the street.
Offering to suck your dick for a Cheeto.
Yeah, they just want to quack at your dick for fucking Cheetos and bread.
Geese are fucking scary. Ducks, I love springtime to get to see all, like, baby animals, like, baby ducklings, like, crossing the street and, like, stuff. But, yeah, geese fucking suck. Canada can have them all back. I'm done with geese.
They shit so much, and they shit, and it's just, like, these long turds.
Green, disgusting turd.
Yeah, and they fight with you. Like, they will fuck you up. Yeah. They don't care.
I have a story about geese, like, fighting, like, chasing me when I was, like, little. Like, apparently my cousins and I went to, like, Navy Pier, and we had, like, popcorn, and we were, like, eating the popcorn, but then maybe we fed a couple to the geese, and then the geese fucking chased us. It's like, for the fucking popcorn. Like, again, addict mentality. But, like, no one's ever had a positive experience with a goose.
No.
Never. Not fucking geese.
So, should all the geese die?
No, all the geese should not die. I'd get my vegan card revoked if I say that all the geese should die. But, yeah. Like, they need a fucking attitude adjustment. You know how, like, Canadians are super nice? Not the geese. The geese take all the anger, I guess. Maybe the geese take all the anger of the Canadians so they can just perpetually be nice.
It's like an Key and Peele, like, Obama's anger guy.
Yes! The anger interpreter, yeah. Interpreter, and that's, like, the goose. The Canadian goose is that for Canada.
Yeah, and the way they waddle when they're, like, running the fuck you up, you know?
They, like, yeah, they roll up on you, and their chest is fucking out, and they're like, what's up, homegirl? You gonna try anything? No, you fucking won't.
Yeah. They're fucking vicious and aggressive. Like, they're not, like, passive-aggressive. They're like, it must be fucking nice to have sidewalks.
They're just, no, they just, like, roll up and, yeah, man, fuck geese.
Man, they're all going to die eventually, too. You know what's fucked up? Okay, imagine almost every single old movie that you have ever seen, at least, okay, from the 1980s, from the 20s to the 80s, I'll even go, like, even the early 90s, every animal in those movies is fucking dead.
Don't fuck me up like that.
Air Bud's dead.
Don't fuck me up like that.
The Dunstan checks in monkey, he's fucking dead. The Taco Bell dog's dead.
Yukio, Taco Bell.
Dead. It's a dead-ass turtle.
That was a chihuahua.
Oh, well, there's this phrase that I have with my friends where, I remember one time I was walking in a forest preserve with my friends and, with one of my friends, and we came across this little clearing where there was just like a little shallow pond of water off to the side, so you kind of had to like go through the bushes to get there. So we heard a commotion. There was like a bunch of like little kids, maybe around 8-10 years old, maybe the oldest was 11, and there was so we just like went through the bushes and we looked at them, and then they saw us and they're like, look, we found a dead turtle. And it was this big-ass tortoise. And then one of them took a big stick and then pried him over. And then the turtle's tongue, like, it was just dead. And then, like, the tongue was sticking out. And then they just went, ew! So we just used the expression, yeah, that's a dead-ass turtle. we were all laughing our asses off at this dead turtle. All because the way his tongue was sticking out looked like a fucking, like a drunk passed out. Like,
I've never found a dead animal like that, but I do remember in third grade, I had to walk the block to get to my bus stop, and one morning, there was a fucking decapitated rabbit in somebody's yard. Like, it was a full bunny on its side, but it only had, like, a neck bone hanging out. Like, the head was just gone. And I remember, like, now as an adult, I'm like, what kind of satanic teenager beheaded a rabbit and left it at the school bus stop? Because, like, an animal wouldn't just take the head and leave it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. So I have no fucking idea what went down there, what Marilyn Manson listening to motherfucker got to that rabbit, but
we're fucking stupid.
I just like, yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, dude. So just don't die just yet, man.
Hey man, I said in a previous episode, I'm hoping we get to at least 85. So in good health and good conscience.
Yeah. Cause if I die soon, don't be sad unless I fucking die in a sad way. But, I don't know, if you're ever at my funeral, like, just have as much of a good time as you can. And do a fucking podcast. Like, you gotta say, like, this is coffee catastrophe with Gabby and Brent's fucking dead and
No, what I'll do is I'll like set up our usual setup with the two mics and headphones, and I'll put your little box across from the mic and put a set of headphones on it and the microphone, and I will just do it normally and be like, so what do you think about death?
And then I'll just say,
what's the other side like, Brent?
That's what I would say. I would say nothing because I'd be fucking dead.
And I would respond, that's great.
But then I would, you would just be silent and you'd be really reflective. And then, like, after a long pause, like, you'll just hear, how come we can't say the N-word? And then that's how I go out.
And that's how you go out. No, same here, dude. I will tell you this. If I die anytime soon, which I hope sincerely won't happen, please make sure that I look fucking awesome in my open casket. And y'all better y'all better order the best fucking bomb-ass vegan food ever and eat that shit. If there's any animal products at my fucking funeral, no, I'm just kidding. But that would be like, yeah, if I die, which I really hope is no time soon, I'd like everyone to have like a nice party and like hang out and just like talk and not be sad. And like, you know, it'd be really cool if like as a teacher they could like put a plaque up for me, even if I've only been at that school for 1 year.
They probably would.
Make it like the Gabby Caputo corner of contemplation. I don't even know.
Yeah, it would just like help change the world and shit. And how about this? At your funeral, I will make the fucking vegan food. Like, is this vegan? Like, okay, like, flaxseed flatbread, like, with a little bit of, like, olive oil, like, on top, baked in the oven. And on the inside is, like, avocado, broccoli, tomato, and onion. And it's wrapped up I was going to say feta cheese, but that's just definitely not fucking
vegan. You can make vegan feta. There's a recipe, it's not, I don't know if there's any, like, nut cheeses that are made feta style. There might be some. But there's a recipe I know for sure in one of my Issa Shonar Moskowitz cookbooks for vegan feta. And it's, like, almonds that you soak in, like, lemon and some saltiness. And you kind of, like, grind them up to be, like, that feta crumbled texture. So, like, you could make a vegan feta. And the wrap sounds fine so long as there's no egg in the wrap.
Done. Definitely, yeah, there's no egg in the flaxseed shit.
The flaxseed shit. Yeah, dude, make that. All of you, like, eat fucking sugar and drink alcohol and have a good time and make sure my corpse looks nice. That's all I need.
Don't die, man. We still have a lot of things to do, like hanging out and shit. Like, yeah, especially that summer's around the corner, so just try not to die, dude.
Dude, I'm gonna do my best, but here, you gotta promise to also try not to die.
I'll try my best not to die.
Pinky promise over the mics.
All right, it's official. We did a pinky promise.
We're going to try not to die.
So, yeah, death is something that we will never fucking get away from or escape. But it's best to just, you know, fucking do what you got to do now and kind of embrace death. Like, the end is coming, man. So this is like our own little TV show.
Yeah, this is your fucking TV show that you star in. I mean, shit happens. We get dealt hands of cards, certainly. But like, you gotta make it your own. You gotta do what you want to do, boo-boo.
Yeah. And with that, concludes this episode of Coffee and Catastrophe with Brent and Gabby. Thank you for listening.
Take care. Be good to each other.